I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience, a podcast where dads can connect and openly share stories. In this episode of The Dad Experience, we talk to Jorge and introduce our new monthly mini-show, Dad TV. In this first episode, we talk about our three favorite family movies. Here's a taste of what to expect.
Oh man, are you kidding? Coco is on repeat in my house as well. I have three guitars now at our house, thanks to Coco. Plus a drum kit.
Welcome to the Dad Experience. It's always good to be back in your cars or in your earbuds or headphones and chatting it up and talking all things dad. Mike, how's it going?
Not too bad. How you doing?
Good, good, good. It's been crazy. You know, the terrible twos are upon us, but they're great twos still. They're great.
They're ripping it up.
Yeah, you know, it's just the communication thing. It's just a communication thing, but we're getting there. We're figuring it out. It's all good. So, Mike, should we get right into this episode?
Yeah, let's get in. Let's get in deep. Let's do it.
All right. We have an awesome guest for everybody today. We have Jorge De Moya. He is a 34-year-old father of two, soon to be three. He's a Cuban-American born in Miami, Florida. He's an avid hockey fan and a TV and moviegoer. So Jorge approached me via Instagram and said, hey, I want to find a place where we can talk content for our kids. So, you know, he sent me kind of his idea, and I think what we're going to do here from here forward is kind of once a month try and convene and talk about family content that's appropriate and how we can help monitor our kids and what they're watching. Because, you know, there's a lot of content out there, and with everything being online, it's not like you're going to Blockbuster or to whatever video store to get a video or a video game. You know, everything's online, so it's harder to monitor. So we're going to talk about that and some things that we're going to be seeing and watching that we like as parents. So, you know, Jorge has a three-year-old son, and he has a four-year-old daughter. He says they're Irish twins. So he's in a similar situation to what we are. Ours are about 17, 18 months apart, but I feel him. I feel him on that. So he's on Instagram, Dad of Moya, and his production company at 90 Miles Media. So welcome to the show, Jorge. How you doing today?
Doing great, guys. Thank you so much for bringing me on.
Yeah. So tell us about your idea for why you came up with kind of this idea of what we're calling Dad TV, just kind of monitoring content and all that good stuff.
Oh, absolutely. So the idea for Dad TV came about when I wanted to really connect with my kids and the content that they're, you know, watching. Wanted to see what kind of shows they were into, and really wanted to just make sure that there was still interaction with our kids, especially when it comes to content. Everything now is on the iPad and digital, and we want to, you know, make sure that we're, you know, kind of monitoring a little bit of what our kids are watching, but not necessarily in like a hovering type of way. You know, get involved, see what their interests are, you know, and kind of, you know, watch some of the same stuff that they're watching. That way we can avoid some of the bad content that is out there, you know, digitally sometimes on YouTube channels. There's these different channels that aren't exactly great for our kids, and our kids are going to stumble across them, you know, in the internet age and stuff. So I thought it was important. And there's a lot of topics that we can talk about, you know, from different age groups and from little kids all the way to the teens. And, you know, so I thought this was a great way to come in and talk about content for our kids and see what's going on out there.
You know, I'm excited about that because we're always looking to, you know, what is appropriate? What is appropriate screen time? You know, what do we watch? And, you know, even with the advent of YouTube Kids, I think is what it's called, there's still been a lot of backdoor stuff that I've read about that it's still not the greatest place for kids to be on. It's like, you know, gone are the days where you can pick a Disney app and it's like, okay, we're safe. It's done by Disney. They're controlling the content. Still, that YouTube Kids is still controlled by, I feel like it's, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, that it's still driven by the creators, and YouTube is just kind of this overhead umbrella of what they're putting out there. Not that they're not monitoring more, but there's still ways to get around it. So I mean, even in that sense, I've read here and there that it's not always the greatest.
Absolutely, and that's exactly right. I usually say that, you know, stick around for the first 2 minutes of what your kid is watching on YouTube, because after those 2 minutes, some of these creators, they delve into adult situations that your 3 and 4 year old should not be watching. So really the 2 minute mark is really where you want to judge whether the video is appropriate or inappropriate.
Now, how do you monitor, and how do you do a litmus test with it? What do you do so that you know, like, okay, after 2 minutes, I know I'm going to leave? Or how do you know that you're reading through and scrolling through the up next or whatever that you're looking at, or whatever the algorithm's showing you? How do you give that 30 second litmus test to even click on it? What is your kind of process for that, Jorge?
Well, it's a learning process, because this is still very new. You know, this is very new for all of us, for all dads out there, and for all parents. It's my process has really been, once I hit that 2 minute mark and I don't see any kind of inappropriate content or adult situations being done in these created content videos, I let those ride and I'll subscribe to those particular channels. Ones that are being flagged, I block. And once you start doing that a few times, then the up nexts are more on the same level of, you know, the ones that you approve of versus the ones that you're blocking.
Right. And I found even myself, and I know Mike, you want to jump in here, but I found even myself that if there's something I don't find, even like when I'm scrolling through my Instagram feed or whatever, you know, I try and keep what I'm doing or who I'm following or who's following me. You know, I want to keep it more family. I want it to be able to be, if you were with your kids scrolling on your phone and they were looking over your shoulder, they're not going to see something that's inappropriate. So if something happens to sneak through, you know, even on my Instagram feed, I encourage people that if it's something you don't want to see, and you know it's really inappropriate for whatever the standards are for Instagram or YouTube or Facebook or whatever, I report it too. You know, I'll flag it or report it, because that's the only way things are going to be found. If they're going to be put under an umbrella of family, let's say, but yet they're showing things that aren't totally appropriate, it needs to be aware, because there's so much content out there. So I encourage people to do that still too, if it's something they really feel like it shouldn't be out there.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of what application you're using or what entertainment service, you know, Netflix or whatever, parents still have to be the gatekeeper, because all these big companies like YouTube and Netflix, they rely on these algorithms for self-generating these, you know, what would be appropriate or inappropriate for, you know, children. Like, take Netflix, for example. If you go on Netflix, sometimes you go into like family movies, for instance, and they have movies on there that aren't really family appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is a good place to talk a little bit about the Parents On Demand Network. The Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can download their app at the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store. Our podcast, along with many other parenting podcasts, are on there. And if you stick around to the end of this episode, you'll hear about another great parenting podcast that, if you like the Dad Experience, that I'm sure you'll like. So stick around. We're going to take a brief break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to kick off this Dad TV thing. On this episode, we decided that we would talk about three films or TV shows that we like as dads that we really would watch and sit down with our family. So stick around after the break, and we'll talk about the three films from each of us that, or TV shows from each of us that we really enjoy. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We are here with Jorge and Mike, and starting a new thing we like to call Dad TV, a small segment that we're going to put in. We're going to talk about content, television content, monitoring content, things that we've found that are good, all things TV, film, television. So to kick this new segment off on this mini episode, I thought, well, why? What better way to do it than maybe talk about three films or TV shows that we really like as a family, and things that we might would want to watch with our kids and our family that we think that would be appropriate at certain ages. Jorge, do you want to start off? Maybe we'll do a round robin here, and we'll each do one, and we'll talk a little bit about why we think it's a great thing or why we enjoy it. So do you want to start off with yours, Jorge?
Yeah, absolutely. So me being such a movie buff and in production as well, I've grouped my three into little mini categories is on top of that. Because I also wanted to point, you know, say that with the holidays coming up, a big time tradition, at least in my family and a lot of families out there, is to go to the movies together. You know, you want to be able to take your kids as well, of all ages, you know, whether they're teens, you know, maybe you go see one of those teen movies that your teens are talking about a lot. You may actually like it. You might be surprised, you know. So the first movie, one of my favorites, and it's really just, it's the whole series. It's the Harry Potter series. I am such a huge fan of the Harry Potter series, the books. I honestly cannot wait, and my wife is dying to start reading these books to my Definitely. 4 and my 3-year-old. It's a great way to bridge that generational gap because, you know, I grew up with those books and, you know, being such a huge fan, and now I can introduce them to my kids as, you know, when they get a little bit older. So the Harry Potter series is just one of those great series that's a great family film for, you know, kids of almost all ages, except for the really little ones. And on top of that, the Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald will be out November 16th. So there's one movie that you could possibly do as a family adventure.
And, you know, Jorge, I had a question about that. Now, when you're talking about the Harry Potter movies, do you think that it's a thing that you watch, that read the books with the family first, or do you just jump right into those movies?
Or a feeling of the fantastic.
Honestly, I always say that it depends on your own personal taste. You know, I say do both. I've had, you know, families and friends that will read the books first and watch the movies. I've had them do one for one. They'll read Sorcerer's Stone, then they'll watch Sorcerer's Stone, mm-hmm. You know, kind of do like a back and forth. It really just all depends, but I recommend both.
Yeah.
You know, I do definitely recommend both because in these books, they're phenomenal books. And my wife and I talk about it all the time. They miss a few things here and there with the movies, but that's going to happen. You can only condense so much into 2 to 3 hours without losing your audience.
Yeah, right, right. So, Mike, what's your first movie on this family movie lineup here?
Oh man, it's a new movie, Thor Ragnarok. Oh my God, my kids love it.
Yeah, why do they love that?
Oh man, it's just, you know, it's superheroes. It's Thor. They both love Thor. You know, the Ragnarok itself was just really well done. I mean, the soundtrack is awesome. The action is pretty sweet. They just did a really good job. My kids just love it.
Now, do you think what age range do you think would get
this one? I mean, Thor Ragnarok, that's for older kids. I mean, Liam's probably barely on the cusp of it being appropriate for him, but you know, little Liam's 5 and Eli's 7. So 5 and 7, and I think it's some parts might be a little sketchy, but you know what? I think it's okay. Boys love superheroes and stuff. So, and you know, girls too. I mean, they got strong female roles in that too.
Absolutely. You know, and they stand the test of time. Superhero movies usually, if they're done well, stand the test of time. So there's many out there that, you know, even from when we were kids or possibly even before, that are out, that are still good ones that people are still watching year in, year out. So,
oh yeah, man, the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, those are still awesome. My kids love those too.
I love Thor. That was Thor Ragnarok was great, and I love that the female, you know, superheroes are coming out more and more. My girl loves Wonder Woman. She was Violet from The Incredibles for Halloween, along with my son, who was Dash. So you know, I love that Black Panther and Thor both also had some strong female roles, and nice. You know, my little girl loves that.
Yeah, my kids love Black Panther too. Liam wants to be Black Panther Absolutely. When he grows up. I said he's got to invent a superhero suit then.
Absolutely. So I guess it's my turn to talk a little bit about mine. So my first one up, I'm kicking it old school, and I'm going with Back to the Future. Now, I don't know that would be, you know, my kids are definitely still too young for that one. But you know, looking at that one, I think it's one of those, it's still a wholesome family story on the surface. There are some things when you get deeper that kind of went over my head as a kid, but I think it's just a good story. And who doesn't love a good time travel story? I mean, from seeing Back to the Future the first time as a kid, it opened me up to just wanting to watch more about time travel. And just, you know, it's got some great leads in it. Some folks that are classic actors now. I can't believe I'm saying that, but you know, you look at Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd, those guys are classic actors that are great actors. It's strong acting and just a good story that's well thought out. And again, I think we're seeing a theme. It's a fantasy. It's a sci-fi. It's putting yourself in a situation where it's not normal. It's something that's you can just escape to for a little bit. And what kid? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but what kid doesn't want a time traveler or dream of that at some point in their life?
No, I think you're exactly right. I think when my boys watch it, I mean, if you're comparing like Thor and Back to the Future for a little boy, I mean, Thor's going to win. I mean, it's just more something more tangible than time travel. You know, he's got a cape, he's got superpowers, you know, Hulk is in that. Versus Back to the Future, which, you know, Jamie and I love. But it's just, I mean, I think Back to the Future is such a great movie. And I can't wait till they're older to really get it. I mean, they've seen it right now. Probably, I don't know, I think the last time we watched it was a couple months ago, but you know, they enjoyed it. You know, it was a movie. You know, he's got this fast car that, you know, travels back in time. You know, he needs help from this, you know, this crazy, you know, wacko scientist guy. You know, they got a kick out of it.
Mm-hmm. And I think also though too, you've got to look at it at a standpoint, whereas, you know, we like, in this household, we love superheroes. But it's not my go-to. We don't have it everywhere. And we do focus more on the family adventure versus the superhero, supervillain. So I guess it's going to also depend too for people on what do they consume more? What do they see their parents consuming more? And my kids are going to definitely see me consuming more of that, like a Goonies type film or a Back to the Future type film before I would, I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen, and our listeners probably going to shoot me down for this, but I've never seen Thor Ragnarok. I didn't have a desire to. I hear it's great. I hear it's great. A lot of the people I've interviewed, I hear it's great, but I've never watched it. But you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like for me, it's in this household that might be driven differently, and maybe they'll drive me differently to go into the superhero realm too. I mean, right now, and you guys probably can attest to this too, our household and what we watch is really driven by what our kids are going to watch when we do watch things. So, you know, it might turn into that in this house. We may be watching only Thor Ragnarok and, you know, the original Batman, whatever. I don't know. But I guess it's going to kind of all depend on that.
Well, Adam, good news for you is that Thor Ragnarok is available on Netflix.
Yeah, I'll have to watch it. I'll have to sit down and watch it some point. That's what I think I'm going to do. I have to do it because
head out to the theaters, you know. So
exactly, and you know, I've heard about it on the podcast before. I've never publicly said I haven't seen it yet, but it's been talked about on this podcast before. I think when we had the Detroit Grooming guys on, it was just coming out, and they were all excited about it. So, you know, Jorge, hit us up with your second choice of a family film that you really enjoy.
Definitely. And second family film for me also connects to another one that's coming out in November. I wanted to kind of do that a little bit for the first two, but it's a ultimate classic for mine, and that is Mrs. Doubtfire. And I bring that up not only because I hope to dress up as Mrs. Doubtfire for next year's Halloween, because I will have a daughter as the oldest, the son will be in the middle, and then my youngest is going to be a daughter as well. So I do hope for that, but also because it brings some important family issues. You know, the Robin Williams character and Sally Field, you know, they couldn't make it work anymore, but they still had extreme love for their kids, and it was all about their kids, and they actually were better apart than they were together. You know, it's an important kind of, you know, thing that we don't talk about And it's, you know, not talked about a lot in the Latin culture, you know, divorce and all that kind of stuff. You don't really talk about that much. And I wanted it,
oh, absolutely.
You know, say, you know, that's definitely one of my favorites, and it's absolutely hysterical. It's a classic in my mind. It's still funny to this day.
Yeah, that's one that, you know, I actually, until you mentioned it, I forgot about it. It is a great film. It's got, again, a great cast, too. And I think it stands the test of time, too. If you turn that on now, minus maybe some of the hair do's or some of the clothing they wear, it still can get put up against something new, I think, coming out. And you were mentioning that there's another one coming out?
Well, here's the thing. Mrs. Doubtfire, the reason why I wanted to bring it up in this podcast was because it talks about important family issues, and there's a new movie coming out called Instant Family, starring Mark Wahlberg, that also talks about some important family issues. Instant Family is about a couple that want to adopt, and they end up with adopting not just one, but three. And family comedy. Oh, wow. So another one that, you know, if you're looking at a family comedy to go see. The trailers look hysterical, and it talks about an important issue, you know, in the United States right now is, you know, adopting and foster families and how great it is, you know, to be able to do something like that for, you know, these young kids and how we need to adopt here in the United States. There's a lot of kids out there that are looking for their forever homes, you know?
Yeah, no, that is cool. That's one that I hadn't heard about. You know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put links, hopefully YouTube links of each of the films I talked about so people can go check out trailers of them before, you know, to kind of pick and choose and see what we're talking about. So great choices and a great one to tell us about that's coming out. So thanks for that. Mike, what hit us up with your number two?
Number two, Jamie's favorite movie, Nightmare Before Christmas. We watched it like last week. It's like a Halloween movie and a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's one that can keep giving it's you awesome. All the way through. Right?
All the time.
So why is that one? Why do you think that one is a good one for the kids?
You know, it's you know, the claymation.
Yeah,
is done really well. Just the art of it.
Yeah,
you know, Tim Burton does a really good job of, you know, making things just creepy enough, not to be scary, but to be just interesting.
Right. And it's a different aspect for, I think, for our kids to see rather than seeing either, you know, it's not live action, it's not cartoon, or it's not even digital cartoon. You know, I mean, computerized cartoon, you know, that idea. So it's something totally different. It's a little more gritty and,
yeah,
which is kind of neat. You know, I kind of miss that sometimes, even in animation, you lose some of that.
And, you know, watching how it's made was really interesting to them, because they're like, this isn't a cartoon. It's a toy that somebody is moving and then taking a picture of and then doing it over and over again.
And you can do that with your kids, because most phones now have that on them, and you can show them that, which is kind of cool. You can do stop motion and stop animation on your phones. There's a lot of features that have it, and you can show them with a action figure or whatever, which is kind of cool way to maybe show and demonstrate that hey, listen, you can do this too, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's super interesting.
Because that's exactly what I do with my kids now, as being somebody that's into film and stuff, because of Nightmare Before Christmas, would take their toys and pose them in different, you know, situations, and then move them along little by little, frame by frame. And man, the kids just eat it up. Nightmare Before Christmas is a staple in my house. We start watching it on October 1st, and I don't think we don't stop watching it almost every week until December
29th, 30th. Nice. You know,
that's awesome. So,
it's a good one. We're not at that stage yet for that one. I think, we're not quite at that yet. I think it's still a little bit, for my youngest or my oldest, still a little bit, she's still a little young for that one. I think, I don't know how well she'd get into it or be scared about it, but we could try it out. But I love that movie, maybe. And I think it's one that's gonna hit our movie screens here very soon. You know, my second one, these guys know kind of what's coming next, but I'm gonna change mine. You know, I think my second one is Coco. I think that movie, I hope I didn't steal it from somebody, did I?
No. Mike already did that, okay. Don't worry.
All right. So I really, really like that movie. My daughter loves it. We're a musical family. I teach music. Uh-huh. And I think that it's just, it's one that, again, it deals with culture in a different sense of what we're used to seeing, the Americanized Halloween. So it's a different way to look at that and how looking at it from a different perspective. But also it's just a good story, and it's got great music. And it's something that my younger daughter, it's right in her wheelhouse right now. So it's one that I've been able to watch over and over, because, you know, as a dad, we all know that we watch these shows over and over. So that one for me, I think Coco right now is one that I've really enjoyed watching with my daughter and watching it through her eyes and really light up every time she sees it. It's just a cool film. Like, what do you guys think?
Oh man, are you kidding? Coco is on repeat in my house as well. I have 3 guitars now at our house, thanks to Coco. plus a drum kit.
Yay, toys that make noise.
Oh, no, you don't understand, my friend. This isn't just a regular toy. This is a full-fledged 13-year-old drum kit that now my 4-year-old daughter loves to play. And so does my son. And, you know, we're huge music fans as well. You know, my wife danced, my daughter danced. I was in the band back in high school. So we're a huge awesome. Musical family, and man, do they love Coco, and they sing all the songs. And it connects to us, and it connects to our Latin culture. And we love that, because, you know, we talk about similarities, and, you know, relationships that my kids have with my grandmother, who thankfully is still around, you know, and the relationship they did have with my wife's grandmother, who passed recently. So being able to connect that and talk to them about that and kind of relate it to Coco, couldn't have asked for a better movie than to be able to share that experience with them.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. And the good news about that one is people can catch that one too on Netflix, which most people have in their house right now. So and I didn't know that I was going to love that movie as much as I did. But I just love it. I think it's one of, by far, there's a few Disney movies that are at the top of my list, and I think that one's in my top one or two. If I'm going down the list,
I'd love the Ali Breeze.
It's just a good movie. So, you know, Jorge, we're on our last one, your third film for this episode. What is that third film that you had to tell everybody about?
Well, that third film was The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, burn.
But that's okay, because I always come with a backup plan. All right. And this one connects to me personally more than anything. And that is going to be kind of like the Rocky series.
Oh, okay.
Right? That father-son connection. My dad watched the Rocky movies, I think, constantly. I think those were on repeat in VHS form. And now I'll be able to go with my dad to the theater and watch Creed and Creed 2. So there's that. It's a little bit of a different kind of connection, you know, that father-son moment. But now being able to, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of dads out there that watch the Rocky series growing up, and then as their kid gets older, probably 10, you know, 10 and older, I would suggest, they could also, you know, share that same kind of experience with their sons.
And what's cool is that one, again, it stands the test of time. Obviously it does, because they wouldn't be bringing it back, and it wouldn't bring a second one back, and reinventing it. So it's almost, you know, if you take a step back and look at it, it's almost like a superhero movie in its own right, because you've got Rocky Balboa, who's this maybe not the biggest person in the world, but he's taking on the world in some of the movies, and he's taking on family issues, and he's just this big superpower, and it's almost can be, in my mind, I take a step back and look, it could almost be compared to some superhero movies out there. So But yeah, it's an awesome one. I love that one. I didn't expect that one. That's a great one.
I didn't expect that one either.
Yeah, well, Mike, you kind of snuck one out from me, but that's all right. But yes, and especially with Creed 2 coming out, and you see what Stallone has done and how he's connected the older movies to the new ones. I mean, I got chills when I saw the trailer for Creed 2, and all they showed was the back robe, and it just said Drago on the back. I lost it. I was just, first thing I did was I called my dad, and I was like, "Dad, he's gonna fight Drago. What? What are you talking about?
That's awesome."
He's gonna fight the sun.
But you know, it's something too. You bring up something really interesting, Jorge. Too is that we always look at it as an aspect of us with our kids at this age, or you know, teenage years, or that we still want to bond. At least I do. As I get older, when I'm you know retired and my kids are becoming young professionals, I want to spend that time with them still. And what a cool way for you to do that. You know, with your dad too, and still be able to do that and see that bond can still continue way into your adult years. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really interesting.
It's that bond is what helps with our bond with our young ones now, right? That's it helps you, you know, along your own journey through the 2-year-old stages and the 4-year-old teenager that you have or anything like that.
Yeah, great choice. Great choice there. So, Mike, what's your number three?
My number three is a really popular movie. I don't know if it's necessarily like a super well done, meaningful movie, but it certainly is entertaining to the kids. They love watching Angry Birds still.
Huh. I've not seen that one.
Neither have I.
No. It's I mean, it's entertaining. It's funny.
So give us a little like 30-second elevator speech about Angry Birds, Mike.
Elevator speech? I mean, it's about some angry bird who finally understands himself well enough to be comfortable with his anger, and he helps everybody else out by rescuing all their chicks.
Okay. All right, so what do you think is the reason why your kids love that one so much?
I don't know. It's just slapsticky funny. I mean, they get a big guy that blows up. They get the angry little red bird, whatever his name is, and then Chuck. Chuck's very popular because he's so fast. And it's just got really bizarre scenes that are just hilarious.
I'll have to check it out. I'll have to check that one out. What age range would you suggest for that one, do you think, Mike?
I don't know. I think it's G, PG or G. I think it's okay for, I mean, for my 5-year-old, it's all right. I mean, he loves it.
Right. It is PG. Very rarely do you see a G movie these days, though. That is for sure.
Yeah, very rarely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I don't think I can think of one in recent memory that my kids have seen, like a recent release. Yeah. Everything's PG.
Well, I guess I will kick mine off. We're getting to a close here anyways, but I guess I'll kick my last one off. You know, as a kid, one that I'm excited to see with my kids when they're older, but I just think it's a great all-around family film. And again, I think it's a strong cast. And again, being a music teacher and from that musical background, I'm going to go with Mary Poppins. It's just one of those, again, a magical world. What kid doesn't want to fly? I mean, there's that one scene with them, spoiler alert, where they're laughing so much that they're kind of floating. And it's just, I think it's one of the first scenes, one of the first films too, that actually incorporated live actors along with animation. And it's just it's a cool film to see. It's a really cool, again, fantasy world that you can escape to, and kind of going with Jorge's themes. There is the new one, which is going to be a sequel. And the author had written many, many, many different books, so they're not necessarily making a remake or just kind of spinning off of the movie. They're taking some of the newer some of the other stories and creating another film, and they're updating it too. You know, from what I understand, I think There might be some divorce involved, and the brother and sister from the original getting living together because of a divorce and different things. And Mary Poppins comes back. From what I'm gathering, from what I've seen, I haven't seen the film obviously because that isn't out yet. But I'm looking forward to seeing that as well and adding that on as another film to that whole series. So I'm super excited about it. And I've always loved that movie. The music's great. Again, the acting is really good. You know, Julie Andrews, Dick Van Dyke, who can't get wrong with Dick Van Dyke and who's still alive and you can talk about. So just some cool, so just a cool film that I think for pretty much all ages, that one, I would say can check that one out. Have you guys seen that one or have your kids ever seen that one?
I'm all aboard the Mary Poppins one, and the new one looks phenomenal. And I have to say, when you see them doing such a classic movie and they're kind of redoing it again, your initial thought is, oh, no, please don't do this. You know. But then when they cast Emily Blunt to be Mary Poppins, I went, that is perfect. She is a great actress. I really love her, her comedy, her timing. The way she delves into, you know, her characters in all her movies, she has such range. And I was just like, she's, that is a great, great casting choice to play Mary Poppins.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to the Bert-esque character being Lin-Manuel Miranda, which is Hamilton and has done many other things. Did Moana, did a lot of the music for Moana, has some other great Broadway musicals that have been out. So I'm really looking forward to that. And he's just a strong actor too. So I can't wait to see that as a play between the two of them. I think it's going to be a cool film. I think it's going to be one that the family's going to love and go out again at the holidays to go and check out. I think it might be one of the first ones I'm going to try and maybe attempt to find a one of those lights up movies where you can take young kids to.
That'll
and
be super
check
cool.
That one out. So, but you know, guys, I think all these films are great films, and I'm looking forward to seeing this segment grow and morph into maybe some more mini episodes or maybe even incorporate them into some of our longer episodes. So Jorge, thanks for joining us and reaching out to us. We look forward to continuing this on in the future.
Yeah, thanks for coming out, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot for having me. It was an absolute blast, and love to hear what our audiences think and what they want to talk about when it comes to content. You know, love to hear what they would love to hear, you know, in terms of that. Love the feedback and all that.
Yeah, and you know what? Well, you let our listeners know where they can find you on social media and, you know, websites, wherever.
Yeah, absolutely. So my dad account on Instagram is @dadofmoya, a little play on words from my last name. And also you can find my production company is @90milesmedia on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook. So you can find me throughout all, you know, all those social media sites. You can see what I'm doing production wise and having fun there, or you can check out my dad account and see what me and the kids are up to.
That's awesome.
Whether it's, you know, new hockey lessons for the 3-year-old or just Snapchat fun with the 4. It's a great thing being a dad. It's probably the best thing I'm doing.
That's so awesome. Thanks, Jorge. And, you know, I'm encouraging people to check out your stuff. You got some cool things going on, and we look forward to building this relationship with the Dad Experience and incorporating more of this and generating more user content or user-driven for the segment. So we want to hear from you guys. Don't forget to reach out to us. You can find us on Instagram, the Dad Experience Podcast, Facebook, same thing. Email us your ideas, or if you have something you want to talk about on the new segment here, Dad TV, you can email us at experienceanddad@gmail.com. Mike, thanks so much again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And you guys, we'll catch you next time on The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.